Howdy, everyone. This is Arthur Staple. You're listening to No Sleep Till Belmont, the Islanders podcast from The Athletic. About to introduce our first guest co-host of the year. We're going to do something a little bit different this season with some great co-hosts that are going to do a few shows with us each month. And our first one we're really excited about. First, I want to say No Sleep Till Belmont is brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Get your TV together with the best of live and on demand. Learn more at directtv.com. And now to introduce our guest co-host for the month of October to get started with this Islanders season, former 34-goal scorer with the Islanders, also a two-time 20-goal scorer with the hated Rangers, but a fixture on the New York hockey scene for a long time in the 2010s, it's Michael Grabner. Grabs, what's going on, my man?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for having me. Guess I'm the first one, eh?
You are the first one, the debut guest co-host for the 21-22 season, so that not only means that you're going to tell us some funny stories about your time with the Islanders and in the league, you may have to watch a few Islander games now. I don't know if that's going to cramp your style, but you know a lot more about them, I think, than anybody else does on this show. So it'll be good.
No, it's good. Yeah, at least I don't have any pressure because no one to compare me to, you know?
That's right. That's right. The first one. First off, I know we had you on as a guest last season during the funky, you know, pandemic shortened year, but what have you been up to now? And, you know, what are you thinking? You know, have you made your final decisions about playing either here or back in Europe or anywhere? Or are you just kind of settled into your life right now?
Yeah, for now, I think it's just settled in and just keep doing what we've been doing. Mostly kids stuff, to be honest. I helped coach my son's team a little bit. We just got back from Nashville on Sunday at a tournament there. So that was a lot of fun. But these kids have so many things going on. It's crazy. Like, we have another tournament coming up in Chicago, I think, in November, and Vegas in December and stuff. So just trying to keep busy and kind of still being around the game, obviously, and just having fun with it. But for playing, I haven't really decided anything. Like I said, I'm just going to go with it for now and enjoying the time with the kids and the family and being around, helping out the wife at home. So It's been good, though.
That's good. I'm always curious, and I know, you know, from talking to players who have retired either 10 years ago or more recently, a lot of them get into coaching their kids. When you go to these tournaments, do you run into guys that you played against or played with? Have you had any kind of funny encounters with guys with their kids and you say, oh, yeah, I remember that guy?
Yeah, I ran into Bieksa actually there, so I haven't seen him since the Vancouver days. That was like 12 years ago, so I ran into Darcy Hordachuk, but he lives in Arizona, so his son is on like the older team here, so he was on our flight. And but you definitely bump into some guys along the road here because a lot of kids are getting older and kind of in the same age group, right, when you were playing. So they're all over the place. I think we played against a couple Kings players last year that you just run into and stuff. So yeah, you definitely meet some old faces along the road. It's kind of fun.
That's good. That's good. It's like alumni meetings or something. And now I think I want to segue in, since we're kind of in the middle of training camp for the NHL and obviously for the Islanders, to talk about training camp. And I know from talking to enough retired players that the favorite thing that they, not to say that you're retired, but players who aren't playing, the one thing that they love the fact that they're not participating in is training camp. And is that true that everybody just dislikes training camp intensely, or is that depending on the player?
I think it's depending on the player. For me personally, I can't speak for everyone, obviously, but I felt like in my last training camp, like in my first, like it's nervous. Some people kind of like, as they get older, they don't really care, and it's just kind of have that. I wish I had that, right? Like, you're just going in and it is whatever, just get through it. For me, it's like nerves, like the fitness test. I always wanted to do as good as I can. I don't know. It's probably just my head. And like something wrong in my head, but like I felt like when I was 32, I was walking in there, I felt like I was 18, trying to impress the coaches and like do my best at the fitness testing and stuff. So I never kind of got rid of this the first day kind of jitters thing. So it's definitely nerve-wracking, and like obviously you have young guys coming in, and like some of those guys were like almost more experienced than I was in training camp. Like I said, it's weird. I never could get rid of that feeling of going in and trying to do the best you can, right? Like, some guys can have that where they kind of have been established in the league and kind of don't care about fitness testing or the training camp as much as just getting ready for the first game. For me, it was always kind of like that first, I don't know, school day almost, right? Like it's weird to explain, but I could never get rid of that.
Was there a player that you remember that kind of was the most like that from either from your early days in Vancouver or on through your career, even with the Islanders? Was there someone that just impressed you by the fact that they just didn't seem to care very much and felt very confident about coming into a camp?
Yeah, I think that's a wrong word, not caring. I think they care, but it was just right. It didn't influence the way what they did, right? Like for me, I would wake up earlier, like get a breakfast in, like make sure, like, you know, but they still cared. They just knew what to expect and kind of knew their routine and they knew they trained hard enough and it just didn't let them affect their mental side of it. For me, where it was all mental and like once we got to like that first game of the season, that's when I kind of usually settle down and be like, okay, now it's like the start of the season back into a routine. So, but obviously early on, it was like the older guys, right? Like I was kind of was in a shift of the hockey world from like the old school to what it is now. So like the guys like Marcus Naslund traveling my first training camp, I remember them like just enjoying camp and having a good time with it, right? So, but again, I could never get to that point, unfortunately. So I was always stressed out.
When you kind of had your first year as an Islander too, it wasn't real, you know, you were claimed on waivers kind of towards the tail end of camp and that big waiver wash. So that you kind of missed that first Islander camp. So what was that like when you came in kind of after the first couple of weeks?
That was nice because I had camp in Florida, obviously. And and just coming in and just worrying about hockey, it was kind of nice, you know, like people don't looking at you for what you did in like fitness testing or whatever, right? So, because one of the things in Florida, like we had a conditioning test and like, for me, that people don't realize is like my body is meant for like fast, right? Like fast speed. Like I can go 30 seconds and then need a break and recover fast. But I sucked at the, I did bad in the conditioning test. That's the only thing. Everything else, I was probably top three except the running. And then they were like, "Oh, what's wrong with you? You didn't run or something, or you didn't condition yourself." I'm like, I did what I do every year. And I'll be ready to go in the games. But so that was kind of like a weird experience in training camp, right? Like, because most of my other training camps, I had to like ride bikes and stuff. So I trained for that and they had a running test. And obviously, like I said, I wasn't very good at it.
What were those Islander camps like with Jack and with Garth?
They were pretty tough from what I remember. The fitness testing, obviously the mountain we did there, guys kind of were dreading that. And but other than that, I think most camps are pretty much the same. I feel like you're just trying to get your legs going, get into like the systems, get the like start teaching right away to be ready to go for the first game of the season. Obviously the first couple of preseason games are still going to be a little bit scrambly and guys are not really on the same page. And it's more of like seeing the skill and all this kind of stuff. But yeah, for the most part, I feel like they're pretty much the same, I don't know, for most teams, except like the fitness testing, obviously that is different or what certain teams are looking for maybe, but yeah, I remember going in, obviously signing all this stuff. Like it was a long first day, usually at the Islanders.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
So it's hard to keep track of, like we said, all the what's going on in training camps around the league, and especially with the Islanders specifically. But they haven't changed a whole lot from last season to this season, and obviously the success that they had getting back to the conference final. When you watched that team play last season and in the last couple seasons, what stood out to you about how the way the Islanders play now?
Yeah, I think they've built that over the last few years, to be honest. And they're just a hardworking team. All their guys are buying into the system, obviously. Cutaways won't work. But they're a tough team to play against, even like 3, 4, 5 years ago. So they've just been building on that. And it's going to be definitely another tough team to beat this year. So I'm going to follow them a little closely, obviously, the next month here. We'll be talking about them. But they have some skilled players up front, with mixed with some grit, obviously Marty, Seeker, and Clarin on that line, right? So they're gonna be another tough team this year, and gonna be in the mix for sure. So I'm looking forward to how they start the season. Obviously, I followed a little bit. It's tougher, like you said, in training camp to keep up with things because games are not really broadcasted and all these things. So I've just been reading on Twitter, but it seems like they're all buying in. They got a couple additions that should be good for them, I think, with Parisi and stuff, see how he fits in. But yeah, they kept their core together. They have their studs up front still, so it's going to be fun to watch.
And obviously, like you mentioned, Zach Parise signed and Zdeno Chara signed. And I feel everybody, I would imagine, that's played in the league in the last 20 years has a story about playing against Chara. Do you have one that comes to mind at all?
Just one that I remember, like I was a 5-on-3 and I took like a one timer from him right on my hand. I thought my hand was smashed, but I guess my hand's stronger than his shot because it wasn't even broken. I opened up my palm to block his shot. I don't know why he would do that. It was just a reaction, I guess, but I just turned around and kind of went down on one knee and it hit my arm and I couldn't feel my hand. So I couldn't feel my hand probably for like 10 minutes. It was like the end of the period. So I went to take x-rays and stuff. I thought I was broken for sure, but I guess I'm just soft, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, that was one that stood out. Like, I remember still to this date, but yeah, I guess my hand must be stronger than his shot.
when I think when you guys were kind of starting to put decent teams together with the Islanders, one of the big things that was always talked about was, Could the Islanders be a good enough team or be a draw for free agents? And now you see Parise gets bought out and pretty much immediately goes and chooses the Islanders. And Chara had the whole offseason to choose his team and, you know, clearly picking a team that he wants to try to win a Stanley Cup with. And he chooses the Islanders, even with, some of his history in the beginning of his career when the Islanders were terrible before your time. When you see that happen, does that tell you as a player that, you know, if you were an Islander right now and those guys wanted to come, how much of a motivation, how much of a boost do you get knowing that this guy in Chara is definitely going to the Hall of Fame and Zach Parise might be going to the Hall of Fame, choose the Islanders to be a part of trying to win a Stanley Cup late in their careers?
Yeah, I think that's what we talked about earlier. It's just teams are seeing how good they are, right, and their potential, and that they just have been just like really close to taking the next step. And like you see by guys signing like that with some leadership and some experience, and hopefully they can help them out to get to that point, right? So, and obviously the culture they built there, they know what their expectations are. They're ready to win. They want to win now. So it's, like I said, I'm excited to watch them play and see what they can do. They've been in the mix every year the last few years here. So now it's time to hopefully take the next step and like make a real push. Cause like, I still believe if they would have won the Tampa series last year, they would have won too. So again, it's going to be interesting. Obviously every year is different. It's a fresh start and you got to start off hot again and do it all over again. That's the thing. Nothing you did last year really matters, right? It's like, okay, you got to show it again. So, but I think those guys are ready. They're excited to get the season going with those guys coming in. I think there should be a pretty good buzz around Long Island and the team. And the fans definitely can be excited for this year, I think.
You were, it was kind of the tail end of your time with the Islanders when they had Adam Pellick and Ryan Pulock just turning pro, you know, kind of just starting out. I don't know, even if you remember seeing those guys at camp, they were so young when you were kind of in the heart of your career. Do you remember much about them when they started out? And could you have ever thought that they would kind of emerge really as this incredible shutdown pair, maybe one of the best defensive pairs in the league?
I remember a little bit. Obviously, like you said, they were still young, and like I couldn't really foresee what they've been doing, right? Like, obviously, like you said, they became some studs right now. They're doing an incredible job for the Islanders. So I'm pretty confident they'll continue to do that this year. But yeah, it's good that they get some of those guys stepping up and building on their game every year. Obviously, Ryan has a pretty decent shot, remember? And Bentley Killing would try to take him away and stuff. So, yeah, it's going to be exciting to see what these guys can do and if they can continue the trend of improving and stepping up their game.
And a guy who you definitely played with, because I think anybody who was an Islander in the last 12 years or so played with him, is Josh Bailey, who could get to 1,000 games if he plays, I think, pretty much the whole season this year. He'd get close, and really he'd only be the second or third Islander in history to get to 1,000 games. He's a guy who, you know, I think he took a lot of shit back in the day because he was a high pick, and people thought, you know, when he came to the league at 18, maybe that was a little early for him. But as a guy, I can only guess, even when he was younger, that was as the same guy as he is now. Now is the most one of the more senior guys on the team. Did you see that potential in him to be, you know, a top six guy on a regular basis back then? And you know, just the way that he handled himself with some of the fans that gave him a little bit of grief?
I believe so, yeah. Like you said, I think he has changed as a guy. He always is a little bit quiet, but nice guy in the room. Like, he played well back then too. The only thing with him is, like, he obviously got drafted high, like you said, and sometimes that becomes expectations, or like people like looking at certain traits where he is, for me, not the flashiest guy, but he gets the job done, right? So he's just like smart. He makes the smart plays and like puts up points. So sometimes with people, like, they expect like those highlight reel goals or highlight reel plays, where he's just a solid player, like making his plays, making the smart plays, and not, and I think it's what people always said, right? Like, he could have a really good game, but then you want to see that every game. But I don't think a lot of people don't appreciate the other parts of his game around it. So he's been around for a long time, almost like you said, playing 1,000 games. That takes a special player to be around the league that long. So I think he, from what I've been seeing, he still gets some shit from fans, so I don't know if I can say that, but
you absolutely can here.
Okay, yeah, like, it's, I mean, like, some people just expectations, or I don't know what the expectations are, to be honest. So he's putting up points. He's being a leader on the team. He's being there for, like you said, the longest time probably. And like, yeah, I always appreciated what Bales was doing and how he's doing it and how he's like conducting himself on the ice and off the ice. So, yeah, again, he's going to be hopefully play a key role for them and keep playing like he's been playing the last couple of years.
All right. So for our last segment of Michael Grabner's first guest co-host show, which going great so far, and I think we're pretty excited when there's going to be actual games to talk about this month. From your time in the, even we can think about it overall in the league, but specifically, obviously, this is the Islanders podcast, so you can think about it more from your time on the island. Who was the funniest guy that you played with on the Islanders? Who was the guy that was kind of like the class clown of the locker room?
Well, I gotta look back. We had a lot of like funny guys back in the day. It just depends on what your interpretation of funny is, right? Like Karkner, like the older guys back in the day, like, we had some great group of guys. So for me, it's tough to always pick out one person, because most of the time, like, for me in a locker room, it's not one guy, it's like people feeding off each other, right? Like, one guy will say something stupid and then the guys jump in, and it's just like kind of goes like around the locker room. So for me, like, it's tough to pick up one funny guy. Like, there's not some one guy usually standing in the middle just ripping up jokes. So it's like I said, it's kind of just an atmosphere. And like, we had a great one back in the day where everyone got along, and we had some great teams that I wish had more success because how close we are and we were. So it's kind of tough to pick out, but there was definitely some fun moments in the room.
Was Nabby one of the ringleaders back then?
Nabby, yeah, he usually chimed in a little bit, you know, like with his little accent he has and the way he talks. You remember him, right? Like he was funny. Yeah. Nothing really got to him much. He was just like saying something, just laughing in your face. So yeah, he definitely was up there.
And who was the best dressed Islander on those teams? Who was the guy that really went all out suit wise or just on the road, took the longest to get ready, that sort of thing? Who was kind of the most, you know, fashion
forward? It's tough. Guy. Like, we were also young. I feel like I wore terrible clothes back then. Most guys were just sweatpants and like sweaters that show up like you're high school kids, man. But probably the older guys, maybe Marty. Marty was into this kind of thing. You know, he still is. He likes his little getting dressed up and being all fancy and stuff. But back in the day, it was kind of, I don't know. Like, I would love to see some pictures of guys showed up to rings. And besides, obviously, the games, everyone wears a suit and stuff. But I, like I said, like, I would just wear comfortable clothes. And I, from what I remember, most guys did. Like, it was just like, you wore them for like 20 minutes till you get out of them anyway. So,
yeah. I think I saw that your most recent team, the Coyotes, have kind of scrapped the suit thing and guys are wearing what they want. Are you sad that you missed that era of?
100%, because like if you look at it, like all these other teams or leagues, like they market players, right? If you want to get more marketing for the league and get more people drawn to it that maybe don't know hockey, though, like I get the professionalism behind wearing a suit, which is fine, but no one sees us in a suit. That's the thing. Like, we're not really going around where people see you all day long in a suit. Like, we go to the bus on the road, pull in the back door and walk in and three security guards see you, right? But like for people taking pictures, like the NBA, they talk about it on social media all the time. Oh, did you see what this guy wore to the game and stuff? So that's where they create some buzz around players and marketing their league, right? So hopefully that will generate some more interest, even more interest in hockey now and in the NHL, by guys being able to express themselves in like clothing, walking to the ring. Because you don't see that. Like, everyone knows hockey guys wear suits to the rink, and you see those pictures like floating around, but no one talks about it, right? Unless it's like some crazy suit, like what Pasternak is doing. So, but now with that, you can like kind of explored it a little bit, right? Like market players and like get some talk about hockey going and their styles. It might be terrible, who knows, but like I said, I wish I had that back in the day.
I don't know if you follow Robin Leonard at all on social media, but he's been pretty outspoken about specifically the situation with his former teammate in Buffalo, Jack Eichel, and wanting to get a surgery. When you see players that are currently playing speak out like that, it's very against what the NHL way is, which is to kind of keep your mouth shut and just do your job and follow along what everybody's saying. Do you like that? Do you like to see players expressing themselves, or are you more in the camp of like, let's save that for another time, or try to keep it private and have the Players Association and the league discuss those things behind closed doors?
Oh, that's a tough one. Obviously, you don't really want to put any negative light towards the league and you're like, it's their livelihood, right? But I don't know where the line is about keeping it behind closed doors when it becomes to a situation like this. I didn't really follow the Jack Eichel thing, sorry. So I don't really know what's going on there, but if it's like starting to be like, okay, making decisions on your body, what surgeries to take when you want to go a different route, then I don't know what really the right thing to do is. So for me, it's like a double-edged sword, right? So like, what's really right or wrong? I can't really tell you, but I think it takes people like him to speak out about certain stuff. And like, if you have an opinion, you should voice it. You should be able to voice it, right? Like anything in life. So that's how I would stand to it. But again, like I don't fault anyone for doing what they think is best.
Would, you had a couple of surgeries in your time in the league and certainly plenty of encounters with medical staffs of various teams. Is there kind of a, not a discomfort, but a desire as you're going through this to say, I want to check this out on my own. I don't know if this is the right thing. Or do you always, is it just kind of players just say, look, the team doctors and the training staff have your best interest at heart. They're going to do what's right for you. Or is it just kind of people just sort of approach it from a different, from all different perspectives?
For me, I didn't have any problems. Like when I did my stuff, like I always usually go to sick. Even my eyes, I went to see probably 12 different doctors. I'm like, hey, I want to go see a different guy. I want to see that guy. My agent helped me. Like, you know, like you, I had always looked at other people, but I never had a problem of a team telling me I can't do certain things. So I don't know. Like even with my surgery, I flew to St. Louis to like get an opinion and a scan done and stuff and see what that guy says there. Like the team sent me there. But again, I don't know. It's tough. Like I said, I haven't experienced any of these things where I said, hey, I want to do a certain thing. And then the team said, no, you can't or you shouldn't or something. So like I said, for my eye, I don't know how many doctors I saw, to be honest. So, and a lot of them, it was just me saying, hey, I want to try to go to that doctor if I can get a different opinion from him or what he says, thinks I could do. And they all said the same thing. So eventually I was like, whatever. It must, nothing I can do, obviously. So, but again, I don't think I can remember a time where a team told me I can't do something, right? Like, and I don't know if I would have listened anyways, right? If you say I can't get a second opinion, I would just be like, I'm going to get a second opinion. Yeah. I don't know. But again, I don't know. I don't know the situation, what exactly is going on. I didn't really follow it. I just keep seeing his name in the news. So I don't know if he wants to get surgery or he doesn't. I don't even know. So
yeah, it's a complicated situation, but we, you know, as people on the outside, everybody's got their opinions, but it's always good to hear for people who've actually been through those situations with medical staffs and doctors and everything. So
Again, they're paying you all their money, and like I don't know, like I said, I don't know exactly what even going on. If they're saying he doesn't need the surgery and he wants it, and or vice versa, I don't know what's going on there. So I can't really weigh in on that exact situation and just say what I've been experiencing. So
all right, well, we like that anyway. This has been great, Grabs. First one, I think you did great. I'm sure you're looking forward to being able to watch some actual regular season Islanders games and get back into the flow of things. So I'm excited for what's to come. I appreciate you coming on to start this off.
Yeah, I'm going to dissect some stuff here. Hopefully, Marty or whoever's listening to this, you better play good, because I'm going to give my honest opinion. I hope I don't hurt any feelings.
That's what we want. So thanks, everybody, for listening to No Sleep Till Belmont. Please follow us on your favorite podcast platform and leave a rating and review if you're enjoying the show. That really helps us out. You can subscribe to The Athletic Audio Plus on Apple Podcasts to get all the bonus content from our entire network. Start with a 30-day free trial, then just 99 cents a month after that. And right now, you can save 50% on an annual subscription to The Athletic when you visit theathletic.com/nosleeptillbelmont. I'm Arthur Staple. That's Michael Grabner. We'll be back next week with more Isles Talk. Thanks, everybody.